Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up next, it's a new year, and it better be a new you. We've got quite a few goals to cover, and Chad Johnson, a.k.a. OMG Chad, is joining me on iPad Today. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad Today. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, and other Apple products are worth at gazelle.com. Hello and welcome to iPad Today. And with me is none other than the man whose hair you see from a mile away.
Yeah.
Chad Johnson. Hi.
How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm good.
Doing great too.
So last minute, I realized over the weekend because I was just minding my own business, doing my stuff, and I was like, oh, crap, Leo's going to be at New Media Expo. And Monday is our new, for those of us who are joining live, our new recording time for iPad Today, formerly Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And so I texted you, like, because I knew you were working yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, can you please?
I know that you're there at Twit.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. I know this is your number.
Right.
And because you're a nice person, you were like, yes, I'd be happy to.
It's always fun to come back.
And it's been a while.
A new iPad since. In fact, this iPad is only 3 days old.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you've got the Retina Mini.
I have the Retina Mini. Yes.
All right. Now, was this like a holiday present or why?
This is just a present to me. I didn't
you
know.
You just wanted it.
Yeah, I'll turn that off in just a sec. I didn't know if I really, really wanted the new. Because I had the 3.
Yeah.
And basically got to the point where it's just like, this is just too slow. It's taking forever to search. It's taking forever to Siri to come back on. It's taking forever to switch between apps. And so I finally decided that I was holding out to decide, do I want
the mini or the air?
And so I finally won the mini. I'm loving it. I'm really, really loving it a ton.
Now, is it, and you never had a mini before?
Never.
So that's really interesting because I've got the original mini, which is not Retina, that it sits next to, it's on my nightstand next to my bed, and I find it, I do reach for it if I'm kind of just like doing a little iPad stuff, maybe right before I go to sleep. It's just kind of convenient to have there.
Right.
But even though it's the more portable of the two, I take my Air with me everywhere, and I know that that's not necessarily how everybody feels. It's just, for whatever reason, maybe it's a, I don't know, I'm a creature of habit or something. This just makes more sense to me to have as my device that's with me all the time. But I guess you feel that way about your Mini.
Right. Absolutely. I'm amazed that I haven't felt like I needed more real estate.
Yeah.
I almost feel... It's funny, I want to go grab my third generation, because I bought this, and it's only been 3 days, so I haven't even touched the old iPad, and I kind of want to just, like, lay it on top and be like, is it bigger? Because I truly feel like this
is
absolutely everything I need, and I've never felt, and with iOS 7, I got to skip over the Mini with iOS 6, which I think did have touch, you know, areas that were much smaller, and I think they fixed that in iOS 7.
All right. So you're happy with your 3-day-old Mini Retina. This is fun. This is actually very good timing that you're here.
Yeah.
Because you got a nice new device.
Yeah.
I, too, am very happy with my Air.
It's like,
clean.
I don't have like half the app. You know, I didn't do the backup, so I only have like a fourth of the apps that I had on the other.
No, did you find that your, I don't know how much storage capacity you had on your third gen, but I had a third gen as well, and it was, you know, it's my work iPad, so it's like I had every app known to man,
right.
And that was part of the reason that I felt that it was slowing down. Even though I had enough storage, I definitely started to feel like it was a sluggish experience. Then again, I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of apps, some of them that were junk because you know, I test a lot of stuff. So I don't know if that's...
I didn't quite have the same amount of bloat, but it definitely does feel nice to only have 3 home pages, you know, to really feel like, oh, I need that app. And then as I'm like, oh, shoot, I need the LastPass app. Oh, I need the Google Authenticator app. You know, I can download those as I need them. So, yeah.
For the first time, and, you know, my iPad Air is a couple months old now because it came out last year. But for the first time, I decided not to restore from a previous, from my last
same.
Backup.
Because
I always was like, I just want it to be seamless. I want it to seem exactly the same, but it's a newer hardware device. I did what you did this last time. I was like, let's just start over. And it will force me to only, because my apps are still stored in iCloud.
Right.
But it'll force me to only bring down the apps that I find, no, I actually really need that.
Right.
I'd actually like to use that for testing purposes. And I mean, it still seems like I have a lot of apps. But for me, this is nothing.
Yeah. I don't do many folders. I'm not seeing a ton of folders.
Well, again, I decided, I've got a cooking folder because I just really like my cooking apps. And it's I don't need a page of cooking apps. Let's just put it in a folder.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm sort of forcing myself to say, well, do I have a lot of photo apps? Okay, that deserves a folder. Music apps. But everything else is kind of like, let it stand alone.
Right.
And I'm just going to get rid of stuff that I'm not using, that we've already talked about on the show.
Once I went two-folder crazy, I had to use the search. And that's what I was doing on the other iPad and on the iPad 3.
Mm-hmm.
The pull-down to search just took too long to find the app that I wanted. And so finally,
I've gotten into that situation with my Square app, which is... I will search for it just for our purposes.
There's like three Square apps.
There's a Square Wallet, which is the app that allows you to basically walk into an establishment and they say, hey, how's it going, Sarah? You want the usual? And then I leave without ever paying anybody because it's all transaction and geofenced. But, you know, with my Square app, I used to have that in, and of course it's portrait mode only because stupid. But it used to be in a folder that I called financial.
Mm-hmm,
makes perfect sense in there.
Mm-hmm.
But every single time I needed to pull it up, I'd be like, where's that app that I use every single day and sometimes twice a day? Oh, yeah, it's in my financial folder. And that became untenable. So now it stands alone.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
So anyway, that's a little bit about how Chad and I live our lives.
Woo! I'm bad living.
So we got an email from a fellow named Josh, who sort of gave us our theme for this week. And this email is not even something that I can necessarily answer, but I'll read it anyway. He says, I need help finding an app. I have lots of goals that require work over time to achieve. I'd like to be able to have a calendar that could set my progress. Example, I work on music, or I finish a book, or I play with my pets, I practice guitar. I'd like to be able to see those as successes on a calendar view with a color, and then I could see over time the goals that I've worked towards. Each day I do something towards a goal, I could click a box. It could be shown on the calendar, and at the end of the month or wherever the goal end date is, you could see all the time that you spent towards that specific goal.
I love this idea. This is goal setting.
Right.
And he has a specific issue of wanting it on a calendar.
I think he also probably, like a lot of us, feels, I'm overwhelmed by all of the goals, so why not be able to track my progress so that over time I realize I've made a lot of progress rather than, oh, I just want to lose 30 pounds and I don't know how to...
Brian Brushwood taught me goal setting, and there's three rules to goal setting. There's make it be specific, so instead of just, I want to lose weight, I want to lose 5 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, and so measurable is the next thing, so like 5 pounds is perfect, and then set a end time. For it to be accomplished so that you'll actually hit that goal. And writing it down is a huge, huge part of that as well, because if you don't write it down, you can't go back and look at what you wanted to do and say, I finished it, I did it, or maybe I missed it and I need to rethink my goals. So I want it, measurable and
specific,
write it down. Says one other thing.
So it's funny. So it's like you say, hey, Josh, I like where you're going.
Absolutely.
And I also feel like you have to have something more specific. My problem is I don't have a one app that I would push Josh toward. There is an app called Lyft, and I have it downloaded on my iPhone, not my iPad, not for really any reason. But this might be something towards, it's definitely not called Butt Lift, just Lyft. Let's go. This is an iPhone app, but this is called Lyft. It's completely free. We'll go ahead and, Brian, if you can click away for a second, I'll put in my password. All right. And I'll just show you because it might be along the lines of what you're looking for. It's a daily motivation app. So you not only give yourself goals, but you Let's see if I can sign in with the same account that I've got on my... Well, this might take a minute. Well, I'll try. Why don't they just give me Facebook login?
I know.
I've gotten so lazy, it's like I actually want that now.
Just click authenticate, move
exactly.
on.
But it does maybe a little bit of what you're looking for. Okay, so, all right, here we go. So these are some goals that, you know, I was testing this out for i5 for the iPhone, and I had set up some specific goals for myself. Blogging more, I haven't done any of that. Drinking more water, exercise, floss, no sweets, save money, sleep at least 8 hours. I haven't done any of this stuff. However, as you can see in this whole sleep at least 8 hours, which is something that I really try to do and I rarely do because I'm just, I don't know, up all night, you can start to give yourself not just, hey, I'd like to do this, but you can say over time, yeah, I've actually done this. And then you can add a note like, went to bed early, blah, 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 whatever it is that you want to say, save that. So you've added a note for yourself with this whole goal that you've decided to track over time. The whole idea is it's something to go to on a regular basis where you've got goals for yourself. You can add goals easily. These are some popular goals that are already propagated in Lyft. That a lot of what Lyft is definitely fitness related, but your goals could be about anything. You know, you just want to be more productive, that sort of thing. And then there's a social component because you'll start to notice, oh, there are certain goals that I have that are really other people have those goals too. For example, no email before breakfast. That doesn't work for me, but some people feel like breakfast should be eaten in peace. Okay. And then you can actually see more about the people who are actively trying to get to this goal, you know, and what they're doing. So you've got some sort of motivation for yourself and also motivation from other people. And then, you know, you can be as social as you want. A lot of my goals, I feel, are pretty personal. You know, Chad, you don't need to lose 5 pounds, but if you do, that's your thing. I don't need to hear about it.
Right, right.
But other people really get, they find that the support system, even from strangers or virtual people, really helpful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have any other apps that you feel like would go into this category?
I feel like a lot of people, when they write down goals, it's normally because they feel like they're sort of cloistered or stuck in a rut and they can't get out of it. And so I have an app, and I believe we covered this on iPad Today earlier. It's called Unstuck. Unstuck...
Yes.
The idea is that it will kind of motivate you to move forward. And there's a lot of different sort of motivational tactics that it will use. It will use things like, you know, pick which cards you kind of feel at the moment. So let's just say, you know, there's a lot of people are maybe afraid or paralyzed.
Overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed all the time.
Definitely feel stumped sometimes, and you can decide, you know, which amount, where was overwhelmed.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle, yep, definitely. Yeah, I definitely feel overwhelmed. Like we could also say, you know, sometimes I just feel uninspired, you know, and just hard to get motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you can move on. And it will allow you to sort of hone down into what is actually causing the issue that you have. And you can also do things like there's like sort of journaling to help you move through what you're feeling at the moment. Like, here's the journal, like I said. And it really does... part of the problem of becoming more motivated is sometimes not realizing what has you stuck.
Yes.
And what is keeping you from moving on.
Right.
And this app is built on doing that and moving you through that process.
You know, this reminds me a lot of management training that I've taken in the past at various companies. A lot of trying to understand, you know, conflict resolution with employees and figuring out, okay, well, we've got a team and there's sort of an issue. Let's pull this apart and figure out, okay, exactly where are the bottlenecks in the system? Who's feeling what way? Is there something that this employee is doing to make this employee react negatively?
And here's a step that we have to hit so that everyone has the exact same information in the team. And this is like you have to write down why you're feeling stuck, which is something that I don't feel like a lot of people will do. They just feel stuck, and then they want the solution. And you kind of have to dig down a little bit deeper than that.
It can be, it's a psychological thing. I think some people might look at this and say, I don't know, it's a little touchy-feely.
Like, it is a tiny
I don't want to talk about my feelings, but it can really help break apart that, oh, I'm overwhelmed. There's just so much to do. I'm unhappy right now. And, okay, here are these specific things that are actually bothering me. Let's tackle things one at a time. I felt that way really over the complete last month because I was moving apartments. And it's one of those things where you look around at all the stuff you have to do. And it's like, there's so much. I don't know where to start. So I just want to, like, melt and cry instead. And actually, there really wasn't that much to do. It was just a matter of prioritizing.
Yeah.
And, and tackling things one thing at a time.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to look at a week's worth of to-do lists and go, I guess I have a week to do this. You just think, I got to do all of this now.
Right.
It has to happen
now. And so
I'm
just going to stand here and panic.
And not do any of it because I can't figure out where to start.
Exactly. So there's actually, we should note that on the topic of just getting things done and being motivated, the App Store itself has a really good, it's actually a featured section, a really good New Year, New You is what they call it, little app collection. Some of these apps I've tried. Some of them I have not. The magazines, for the most part, I don't know if I would recommend all of those because it's not necessarily, I mean, Men's Health, it's that's certainly not new in an app form. But we've got great categories like healthy eating, personal finance. Personal finance can be very helpful on the iPad. Working smarter, you've got some of the usual suspects. You've got Evernote and Mailbox and Notability. But there are definitely some apps. Awesome Note, I've not tried before, so it's stuff that's new to me. And then career-based, you've got Unstuck in there, Chad. That's your app, which works perfectly. And then relaxing games. I actually have a relaxing game for my app cap this week, but we'll get to that in a minute. All right, so before we talk a little bit more about, stuff that we're using and also some feedback from all of you, let's take a moment to thank Audible for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. Audible.com is... When I say the leading provider of audiobooks, I really mean it because they have over 150,000 titles, all downloadable from all sorts of different genres, literature and fiction and nonfiction. And what's cool is that when you listen to a book on Audible, not only is it an interesting way to read because you're reading with a different part of your mind, but you can do other things at the same time. I find, as I was mentioning, I've got my iPad mini at my nightstand at the end of the day, but I'm not going to be reading a book because I end up nodding off or I'm kind of tired, but I don't really feel like I have much time to do reading except at the very end of the day. It just doesn't work. So what's the solution? Never read? No. Audible's great because I can listen in my car. I can listen when I'm on one of my city walks or at the gym or doing housework. I can listen on a variety of different devices on your computer, your iPad, of course. Variety of, not just iOS devices either. Well, you've got some audiobooks.
I love Audible. I actually just signed in on this iPad because I normally listen to it on my phone because I don't have a 3G iPad. But I have so many books. I've been an Audible subscriber now for a few years. I'm actually dyslexic, very dyslexic. And so listening to audiobooks helps me books.
It's a time management tool.
Oh, totally, totally. Like, listening to audiobooks is way faster. I just finished, Bill Bryson is one of my favorite historians, and he did one about the summer of, 1927. That was awesome. History of Shakespeare, listening to some money management issues and money management books. Perfect thing to do if you want to kind of get your life back in order. And then, of course, fiction and nonfiction and everything. Inside Scientology was a crazy book. Love Audible.
Oh, I haven't seen the Inside Scientology one yet, but I love Scientology stories, so that's probably something that I should add to my queue.
All of them.
Right. That's great. Yeah, so here's the best part. If you're not already an Audible subscriber, you've probably heard us talk about Audible on Twitch. Here's what you do. You download a free audiobook. You can choose whichever one that you like, audiobook of your choice. It just gives you a chance to try out their service. So that's great. Chad mentioned some of the audiobooks that he might like, whether it's Scientology or something a little bit more, science fiction. Well, I guess, I'm not even going to get into that conversation. You just go ahead and choose the audiobook you like, download it, and see how Audible works. I promise you, there's really no learning curve. It's great. Go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And then at the end of your trial, you get to keep that book. No matter, you know, whether you decide to sign up for a service or not, it's Audible's gift to you. So there's really no reason not to try out the service. Get that audiobook, listen to it. You know, the first audiobook that I downloaded was Song of Ice and Fire, and I was like, sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it wasn't the first audiobook that I downloaded, but it was the first one that I listened to in my car, and in my new car anyway, with the nice speakers, and it was amazing. Changed my life.
The Hunger Games series got me into it.
That too.
I was walking Brian Brushwood's dog, listening to the Hunger Games series. That was really cool.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hunger Games series. Well, and there's three books too.
Three books.
So it's like, you know,
three books.
Go to Audible and you get through them, and then you know how the third movie will end. Yeah. AudiblePodcast.com/iPad today is the URL to go to get that free audiobook. Take advantage of it. Free gift. And thanks to Audible for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. All right, so I figured sometimes on the show, not in every single episode, but we often get some tech support questions, and iPad Today is not so much a tech support show, but we'll do an Ask Leo.
Right.
An Ask Leo question where I pose something that I think is a question that a lot of people might have. And this is not necessarily one of those, but I thought, well, today we'll do an Ask Chad.
Cool.
Because a lot of requests that we get are requests to review iPad stands or iPad covers or cases or knapsacks or whatever. And we do on occasion, but not in every show, especially because not everything is really much good.
Right.
There are a lot of cases and covers out there that are just like, I don't know, it's just one more case and cover. In fact, if you're at CES, you know that. There's a whole hall dedicated to eye crap. So what do you use for your solution? Now, I know you have a brand new Retina Mini.
Brand new Retina Mini. So on the iPad 3, I had a keyboard case that had a Bluetooth keyboard built in.
Yeah.
It was a review for Before You Buy.
Was it the Logitech?
It was not the Logitech Thin. It looked more like a tiny MacBook.
Huh.
It was an aluminum, I forget the name, it's over by my desk. And it added quite a bit of heft and thickness, but I like that because my backpack that I currently use doesn't have a specific iPad area, and so I would just open up the front, throw the iPad in, and that whole thing would sort of keep it protected against all this other stuff rattling around.
Wow, that's quite a backpack you have.
This is a fun backpack. This is a crazy backpack.
Yeah.
This backpack is from Case Logic. One of the things that I love is that it has a space for my DSLR in here, so I can always carry around my DSLR in this backpack.
That's really nice.
It also has, we could do a small backpack review.
Well, here, we're doing it.
Here's Burke brought. This is
the case I used for my
iPad 3. It has an extra speaker, which will pair also with the iPad, so you could have a nice blasted speaker. Really good keyboard, and it really does add, you know, quite a lot, and it makes it feel like almost a tiny computer. And because this is a little bit heavy, you can open your iPad and keep it tilted at an angle without anything behind it. This is called the Bridge Plus, spelled with a Y, BRYDGE. Anyway, so backpack as well. But my absolute favorite thing, and I'm going to add it to the chat room here so that hopefully Brian can grab it, is this was something that I got for Christmas, and these are gloves to use with your iPad.
So that you can keep your hands warm, but it transfers.
Right. And these gloves are by far my favorite type of touchscreen gloves. There's a ton of touchscreen gloves out there, but these are my favorite for a few reasons. One, all of the glove is touch sensitive. Some gloves only have a specific area or maybe only three fingers that you can use with your touchscreen device. This glove, absolutely, you could use a knuckle if you get tired of using your fingers. You could use your pinky finger. You can, you know, sometimes you have something in your hand while you still want to swipe. You can use any part of your hand. It's wonderful that all of the glove is touch sensitive. On top of that, there's an internal sort of fleece layer inside the glove, which makes it feel way better than any other touchscreen glove that I've used. Normally, they keep the touch sensitive part right on your finger, and it doesn't feel like an actual glove. It feels like you're putting on a sock instead of a fancy glove. And then finally, and it doesn't show this on the Audible site or the Amazon site, but the tag that is on the glove, you know, every glove comes with a tag that kind of gets in the way. One, it's really soft, and two, it's microfiber. So you can pull the tag out and wipe down either the goggles, your goggles, of or your iPad. So because it's a microfiber tag, which I just thought was really cool.
Do you think that they thought of that?
It says on the tag, this is microfiber, and there's a little icon of you wiping down your snow goggles.
So this is not just some hack that you discovered. Yeah. It was actually built
that way.
It's
a feature. It's a feature.
That's so,
so
cool.
I love those gloves.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I've always... I mean, we don't really live in a cold climate here in California, so gloves are not as necessary as they are in other places, but in many places they're absolutely necessary if you're outside. And of course, you're walking along, you got your iPad or your iPhone or whatever, and you're going to need to use it. And it is the most annoying thing I've found, especially when I'm traveling in cold places.
Rip off your gloves.
Yeah, and then you're really, you know, you're in pain. You're so cold that you're in pain. But the gloves on offer a couple of years ago were really limited.
Yeah.
There was the one Gore-Tex with the weird little thing. So you had to use your finger very specifically.
Yeah.
And they were expensive. And they didn't necessarily look good. And there just wasn't any variety.
Right.
So, and these are, what, $30? I mean, that's
$30. They're inexpensive
very, very
on top
cheap.
Of that.
Yeah.
They're inexpensive on top of that. So, yeah.
It could be your January stocking stuffer.
It could. It was what I asked for Christmas. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
And you got it.
And I got it.
And you're happy.
And I got it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we got, that was very good. I'm glad I asked.
Thanks.
We didn't even talk about that, by the way, before the show. I was like, I'm just going to throw Chad a curveball and see if he has any advice. And he actually had some really good answers. We got an email from Brian. This is awesome. Not Brian Burnett. And the reason I think of him is because this Brian spells it with a Y also. I guess that's very popular these days. But Brian sent us a video and said, I thought that you would enjoy this video I made using the 1 Second Everyday app for my iPad. He said, I did some editing via iMovie on my Mac as well. Brian, if you can roll this, we won't watch the whole thing because it's a 6-minute video. But... this is a video that he put together with this app that I had never heard of that allows you to just take a 1 second video.
Wow.
Every day, or as often as you like, just to convey what a year would look like in a very short amount of time. And so this is, I watched the whole thing last night. Again, it's like 6.5 minutes. But you can see as the days go by, he was very dedicated. And he's obviously having a lot of fun with this. And it's like a weird little snapshot in all the cool stuff that he did all year. And again, creative guy. But, you can tell, I think he lives in North Carolina or something. This is winter, everything looks very wintry. And it starts getting summery. And he takes a trip at one point and he goes to Paris. And it's so cool. And I've seen a lot of apps before that where, you take a photo every day of yourself.
Yeah.
But not a 1 second video snip.
This adds a ton of information.
Isn't that
just
neat?
Switching it to video.
I know.
You can see motion and emotions and a little bit of change. And you can also, I feel like it's way more creative. He just did a thing where he slid a key into a lock or, took off the blue man stuff. It's you can get a lot more from this.
Wow, I know. It's great.
Cool.
So thank you so much, Brian, for sharing the video. It's funny. I looked at the YouTube video. Actually has quite a few views. And I had noticed in the comment section that the second comment was the guy who created the app and was like, this is amazing.
Wow.
This is exactly what I wanted when I created this app. So that's awesome. So let's look at the app itself. I downloaded it last night. Again, I hadn't heard of it before. And it's sort of, it's kind of telling you, all right, well, this is what you do. And you say, okay, next. And okay, you can use it once. Okay, fine. That's great. All right. Yep. Finish. This is basically just telling me how to get started. And then we access to your photos. That's fine, too. And if I say, okay, well, I'd like to, you can have access to my microphone. We'll go ahead and make it okay, all right. And so I go hi. Oh, I see.
And then
I could use the video, and then I assume that it has made it a... Wait, I thought it only could be 1 second.
You know, this might be just a video, and then he made it a second.
Oh, wait a second.
Is
yeah.
that true?
Well, no, because it's a 1 second app. There.
Oh, yeah.
So I
right.
just
so,
here,
oh, gotcha.
Here's what it allows you to do. It says, okay, of that video,
right.
tell me what the snippet is.
That's good.
I just didn't do that, so it got my was, like the very
was,
end of it.
There were shots where
but
he
there's
was,
my second.
Yeah,
that's my
good.
Second.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it basically tells the day right there.
Right. Now this is, I should mention, it's an iPhone app. We're looking at a 2x version. But it did rotate my video just fine. Mm-hmm. So that's actually helpful when you want to, you know, use an iPad, because you're not limited to just using an iPhone. That's so fun. I love this. By the way,
really
yeah, it's a, I don't know that I'm ready to go ahead and commit to an entire year. It's also already January
yeah.
6th. But this would be a good time if you're the kind of person who says, I want that. I want those little moments. I want to be able to look at you know, those many moments in time. And again, a whole year with 1 second each is only turns into like 6 minutes and some change.
Yeah.
Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
It's 99 cents. So
yeah.
I feel like that's
that's worth
that's
it.
Well worth
that's
it
well worth
for
it.
An app
a
that's
a database
so fun.
Of your 1 second clips.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
Again, the app is called 1 second every day. So it's the number 1 second every day. Of course, we'll have that in our show notes as well. All right, we got a duh tip from Raul, who has a duh tip for Leo. But, you know, I figured we can all benefit from this. He says, after hearing on last week's episode that Leo mentioned that he had Twitter installed on his iPad because Apple requires you to in order to use your account with other Twitter apps like Tweetbot, Raul says, I had to say something. You don't actually need the official app. You can enter your account information for as many Twitter accounts as you want, which is in your iOS settings. He says it's also true for Facebook and Vimeo and Flickr. And then when you install an app that needs access to Twitter or those other apps, you'll get prompted for account access. He says that's what one good thing that Apple got right with iOS. I think he means iOS 7. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you weren't here for that conversation, but Leo had said, mm-hmm. yeah, I've got the native Twitter app on my iPad because I need it because iOS wants to
right.
use the credentials
right.
in order to use an app, a third-party app like Tweetbot. And Raul was saying, you don't actually need the app
wow.
because you can add in your Twitter account settings in settings for iOS, which you can do. If you just scroll right down to Twitter here, if I'm in my settings here, in my general settings,
oh.
Twitter on the left-hand side.
So these are the whitelisted.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's exactly right. Now, I should
I wish
say.
There was a Google one there.
Well, that wouldn't be very Apple-like, would it?
Darn it.
Apple likes Twitter, Facebook, Flickr, and Vimeo officially.
That was the thing. That was actually the issue. Is like, one, if you just look at my iPad, you'll notice that there are no Apple apps on this home row.
Right?
I guess settings and App Store. But the first thing I did was pull off Safari,
yeah.
pull off Messages, replace yeah. it with a Hangouts, pull off Mail, replace it with Gmail. So and I have a folder of Google things that's on that home tray. And you, the first three I signed into, I had to sign into using passwords, and I have second factor authentication,
yep.
and so I had to do the second thing. It was finally when I signed into Gmail that it was like, okay, I think this is your account, and other Google apps can use this account from now on. But yeah, that was getting really annoying, and I wish that Apple would whitelist those Google. Darn.
It has gotten better. There are Google apps now that you can change the settings to say, yes, by default, I would like this link to open in Chrome, for example, rather than Safari.
Right.
But yes, on a system-wide level, iOS is still not going to let you have the Google experience that you want. Now, I should say, I know if Leo were here, he would say, well, I know that you can enter your Twitter credentials in the iOS settings, because I know that he knows that. But it does sound, well, I'm looking at some of our chatters, for those of us who are watching live, some people are saying, but I thought that was a default app that was installed when you, you know, get a new iPad. And that's not true. It is something that that you can certainly get rid of. And you can have multiple accounts, too. I've got my Sarah Lane account on Twitter, but I can go ahead and add an account. Maybe I have an account for, you know, iPad a day, or I don't, actually. But if I did, a lot of people are managing more than one Twitter account, so that would be the place that you can do that as well. And it's not just Twitter, it's Facebook, too. So if anybody was confused about what that all means, those are some settings to certainly get familiar with, especially if you're using any of those social networks. I guess you could consider Vimeo a social network. I don't really use Vimeo much anymore because I'm not making many videos outside of Twit, but it's, you know, sure.
Because you'd upload your video to Vimeo.
You'd comment and like other people's videos. Yeah. It's YouTube-esque, and I consider YouTube a social network as well. All right, we got an iPad Star of the Week, and this one is a bit of a stretch because it was not made with an iPad at all. However, this is Mila. She's actually a friend of Twitch. She's been here a couple times, and she's always giving Leo and I really creative AppCap hats. And she said that she took some video. Brian, do you have this video? Slow-mo video of her sister's cat, Con, you know, just playing in front of the fire. And, I mean, this is, it's like slow-mo cat stuff. It's riveting.
They bought the cat toy with an iPad.
Right. Well, I think the whole point of Mila sending us this is not only is it just cool, but she's saying this is the reason that the iPad needs that slow-mo functionality that the iPhone 5S has.
Yeah.
Now, that slow-mo stuff that I've got on my 5S, I use constantly, Chad.
What?
Constantly. I love it.
Which processor does the new iPhone have?
Well, it's the M... somebody, please. I'm having
What I'm asking is, do you think the hardware of the iPad could handle it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It could. It so absolutely could. It's one of those iPhone things where it's like, why does the hardware of the iPad not support Touch ID? Mm-hmm. And I think, really, it probably has less to do with the fact that Apple can't handle it and more to do with the fact that they want to know what issues may arise with users before they make it like a product-wide thing.
Yeah.
Touch ID does not work that well on iPhones. I'm on my second 5S right now because an antenna died in my old phone, and Touch ID is giving me lots of grief.
Wow.
If it worked perfectly, it would be the best feature ever, but it doesn't. So, you know, I kind of understand why you would hold back a little bit. But slow-mo video, you think, oh, it's gimmicky.
I want it so bad.
But it makes life look much more beautiful than it really is.
Yeah.
Cats jumping in front of fireplaces.
Oh, look at the fur blowing in the wind.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you're curious, by the way, how Mila took that video, she said she got a Nikon P330. I think it was for Christmas. Takes video at 120 frames per second. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
Jump, Con. Jump. Con. Jump.
We can see cat's boredom in slow motion.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's
good stuff.
Really cool.
Bring it to the iPad. Make it so, Mr. Cook. Make it so. Thanks for the video, Mila. You know just what we like. At least half of us. Well, no, actually, 100% of us today, because you're a cat person as well.
Yeah.
You got two cats? I got two cats.
Yeah, two cats. Yeah.
We're a mighty...
Is Leo a cat hater?
No. He just, you know, he likes to roll his eyes whenever I get
in this seat.
A little too into, you know,
The
a little
cats.
Too into
no,
the
feline
stuff.
No, I'm like, let's more cats, please.
Me too. Yes. This week in cats.
Yeah.
Twick. All right, Christopher writes in, got a lot of emails this week, so I just threw them all in. Says, I'm trying to lose weight to resolve a back problem caused by a slipped disc. Yikes. Sorry to hear that, Christopher. And I discovered a great app, which is free. It's called Happy Scale. It records your daily weight and interprets into a graph. And then you can set benchmarks to encourage users to keep the good work. He says, I love your show here in Turkey.
Ooh, I actually might have another thing to show in my app cap for Christopher.
Good.
So something coming up for you later
awesome.
As well.
Awesome. As far as Happy Scale goes, I went ahead and downloaded this. And it is really simple. It is ad-supported. I don't find that to be a deal breaker, but this is a free app, so you should know that going in. So I went ahead and entered my weight yesterday, and now I guess everyone gets to know. So that's fine. And
you're
so that
good.
That
what
was,
you mean?
Yeah, right. And so that was my weight yesterday, and I go ahead and say, yeah, I did not weigh myself this morning, but let's say, I don't know.
You lost 5 pounds overnight.
Yeah, or maybe just the one. So I'll say 109. You know, I'd like to think that was right. Okay, and I go ahead and add that. And so it says, okay, now we're starting to get a little bit of data going in here, right? Because the first weight is always just, you know, the benchmark to measure against, right? So I've lost, you know, 0.1 pound in 7 days, and you've got a 30-90 day all-time type thing. You will start to see my chart is really very minuscule because I just started. But I find, Christopher, that this app is, you know, there's not a lot of bells and whistles, but it sounds like it's doing exactly what you need it to do. You want to track some weight. You've got some settings here. You've got some options to make it your own. You've got a profile, and you can add on not just passcodes, but yeah, you know, a variety of goals. Maybe I've got a goal weight. It's like, you know, 110. I want to be at, you know, 82. That seems healthy. And, you know, predicted weight and that sort of thing. So again,
you can remove the ads, it looks like, with an in-app purchase.
True. True. Yes. Well, you can do that as well. Go ahead and remove the ads. You probably, what's it going to run you?
$2.99.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I find ads to be, maybe I'm just...
Not that big of a deal. Yeah.
Sometimes I just don't see them.
I wish it looked like there wasn't an export feature. I don't think I've found an app that has a good export feature to maybe export it to a spreadsheet or something like that. But, yeah. It looks great though.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it. So
free.
Yeah, for a free
That's
app, nice. Especially if you know, it's weight stuff. And again, 'tis the season. A lot of us are reassessing the bad choices that we made for the last quarter of 2013. Or me, anyway. Have you been downloading the free 12 days of gift?
It's so funny because as you were talking previous, I was like, oh, I haven't checked today's app.
Because this is the last day.
See what it is. It is. I haven't downloaded a single thing.
Not one?
Nope.
Really?
I just don't even want to.
What is it today?
iPad. It's Rolling Stones something music. I don't know.
What do you mean Rolling Stones? I don't know. Come on.
It doesn't matter. I have Google Play All Access pass to all unlimited music. Like, I don't want to download and store music on my iPad.
But it's free. So this is Sweet Summer Sun live in Hyde Park 2013. Dude, I'm downloading this. It's free.
That's a physical MP3 on my iPad. I don't want that.
It's an album of music. You don't think that's going to come in handy sometime?
No, never.
See, I don't really either, but I'm still downloading it because it's free.
And then the apps, the other apps, none of them. Like, I guess I just don't want the clutter. Like, I'm just like, I've got a new iPad. I don't want the new apps. I just want my apps. Get out of here. Get off my lawn. Yeah, I haven't downloaded a single thing from the 12 days of Christmas.
Now, this is an interesting little thing that's going on here. So I went ahead and said, give it to me. And it said, you have already purchased this item. And I said, okay, well, maybe it's one of those little glitchy things. Get album, downloading, you've already purchased this item. Okay, have I? Doom and Gloom Live could not be downloaded at this time. Unable to download song. Now, 12 Days of Gifts has given people some issues over the last 12 days. I've read about them. I haven't had any of my own. Mm-hmm. But this is a little confusing. So maybe I should go to my... Okay, let's just say I'm done. All right, fine. Let's go to my music section and see if it's there. Because maybe,
maybe it's now in your purchased area of the
it
section?
Should be in my music of songs that I now own. And I don't have that many songs on this iPad, so...
It doesn't look like it.
Doom and Gloom Live.
Oh. Rolling Stones.
All right, yeah. Here we go. iCloud.
Yeah, you got it.
I got it. That's interesting.
It just bought it before it knew that. Yeah, you have all three there.
Okay. So
you got it.
Something that was a little glitchy. We won't play too much Rolling Stones because I'm sure I would hear about something.
I have some great Metallica tracks you should listen to.
Oh, yeah? You know, Metallica has really...
Have they turned around?
They have changed their tune. Yeah, no, they went exclusive on Spotify.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They went... I don't know if they're exclusive on Spotify still, but at one point it was, yes, if you want the Metallica discography, this is the place to get it on streaming, which is, of course... If anyone's like, what are they talking about? Metallica is very well known as the anti-Napster, the anti-digital piracy.
That we will sue you if you steal our music.
We do not like this future world that we're living in, and all you kids can get off our lawn. Yeah.
Bring down the man that is you stealing our MP3s.
Exactly. Well, we are the man. And
we are the
pay
man
us.
And make sure you spend lots of money on our albums.
But Leo last week was like, who's been downloading all that stuff? And Regina had written in and said, you've got not only the Hugo movie, which I mentioned last week, but you've got the pilot episode of Once Upon a Time. You've got a Justin Timberlake video album. And everybody knows that kid can dance. You've got Toca House, which is Game. You've got a music mix by Avicii, New Year's Eve mix. I haven't actually listened to that. You've got Jungle Run. So, again, I think that in general, especially since everything's free here, Apple did a good thing. Yeah. It definitely got people probably interested in the idea of having push notifications turned on, because every time I got my push, I was like, oh, cool, what is it?
What's free
my,
thing.
What's
yes.
my free thing? Yeah. I like that. So it's a goodwill. It's a goodwill measure to spread, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it was nice, yeah.
I thought it was nice, too. Do it again
it was
next
a
year.
Kind of fun way. I was surprised it was 12 days after Christmas.
It's a little weird.
And not before.
I think it probably it probably has to do with keeping it very agnostic.
Ah.
Because you don't want to put too much emphasis on Christmas for
right.
people who don't celebrate Christmas.
Is it just 12 days of gifts?
12 days of gifts is the name of the app.
Or day 12.
So you don't really associate it with anything besides just, you know, the new year,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
So I would assume that that's why they did it the way that they did. All right, we got a voicemail from somebody who did not identify himself, but he's got some issues with capacity.
Hi, guys. What's your recommendation on configuring the backup for the iPad? I only have a 16-gigabyte iPad, and I want to save as much space as I can, too. Thanks.
All right, so this actually ties into what we were mm-hmm. just talking about, where you said, I don't want to download mm-hmm. music. I just mm-hmm. stream everything now. 16-gigabyte iPad, I feel for you, because... Yeah, my 32, that was my first iPad. And
so I have now.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's a lot of storage.
Right.
For apps.
Right.
But, you know, especially if you're taking, right. if you're doing any work with video, if you want to save anything.
Audiobooks,
song collections.
Right.
It fills up quick.
Right.
So what's your strategy for backing up and you know, how do you back up regularly and what do you wipe out regularly?
I'm actually in a weird limbo because the previous iPad was backed up to iCloud. And now, and my iCloud, I only had the 6 gigabytes that they normally give you, and I've run out. So if, and I actually need to look at it to see if my iCloud settings, if it has all that data from the previous iPad instead of, and there's no way to get rid of it. So available, yeah, see, I only have 10 megabytes available on iCloud. And it's all the backups from...
And look at it. It's telling you in all caps, Your iCloud storage is almost full.
Calm down.
Everybody panic.
Right. So now this is my previous iPad. So I guess... Okay, cool. So I can just delete this backup. To be honest, what I do is the things that I want to back up on my iPad are photos and videos that I took from the iPad, not just all around, but that I took with the iPad. And what I use for that is Dropbox and Google Plus. Dropbox has an auto upload feature where if you take a photo and then you open up Dropbox, and I bet that I have not signed into Dropbox yet. Let's go. Oh, I just saw it. There it is. That one, it will automatically upload photos that you've taken.
Mm-hmm. I've got that turned on as well.
I don't want to do that. So yeah. So and I have photos of my cat that I'm uploading.
Hi, Key.
And so it will keep all of those updated in the background for me. Same thing with Google Plus. If you open up Google Plus, it will do the exact same thing. So that's what I use to back up my photos and videos. And then other than that, all the app data, all the stuff that's in Chrome or Tweetbot or basically anything, even things like, you know, my cooking or stuff like that, I hope that I am using services that keep that backed up for me, that it's already in the cloud, because normally I like to sign in from a computer to mm-hmm. edit that data as well. So other than that, and then music, I don't download music. I stream all of it.
Yeah, I really don't either.
Yeah, via Play Music. And audiobooks, I don't mind deleting now because Audible keeps my play position synced and I can download it as many times as I need. So that's just about it.
So I guess, yeah, I guess that, which is all very good advice. I work very similarly to you. I find that the cloud, while it has its issues, particularly with security, and right. we're sort of in this cloud world that does not work perfectly, in general, I just much prefer to bring down data as needed. For when I got this new iPad, I was like, I'm not even going to restore. If I need an app, I'll just bring it down from iCloud. Or I'll, you know, download it again type of a thing. I'd rather have as little storage needs as possible. When I watch a movie, if it's rented, you know, it goes away after 30 days, right? From when I, or 24 hours from after you start watching it, or 30 days after you rent it, something like that.
I haven't gotten to the renting craze, or even the downloading from iTunes craze. It's all, if it doesn't exist on Netflix, it doesn't exist.
Well, I find that when I'm in a, on a plane,
You
know, it's like, let's rent some movies and keep my sanity, you know, if all else fails. At least I can watch Spring Breakers, which I actually bought because I want to watch it a lot. But, yeah, so hopefully that's some advice that, that helps you out, Anonymous. Also, Chad showed that he
you can delete.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have an old iPad.
That's backed up.
That's backed up.
For no reason.
And that's an iCloud thing that you don't need both of.
Right.
Just be careful.
So if you're wondering, go to iCloud.
Right.
Go down to storage and backup.
There
then
you go.
Manage storage. And then it shows you the things that have been up, backed up.
Right.
And which iPad is which.
Yeah. And if you, you know, it's, in some cases, you know, now you've got two iPads that you might be using. But in other cases, you're actually replacing one. And you might say, why is my iCloud storage full? As long as you've backed up that original device, you know, to iTunes, so you've got actually, you know, a backup on your computer somewhere if anything were to go wrong, yeah, you don't need to. You've basically got two different versions of the same backup that's taking up all your storage. So when I got my new iPad, I was like, well, screw the third-gen iPad stuff because I just don't need that in iCloud anymore. So I ended up getting more storage. So that's something to think about as well. Reminder, we love hearing from you. All of your voicemails, your emails help us make a good show each week. You can write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD. Send us a video of your cat jumping in slow-mo in front of the fire. Always appreciated. Or some other video where you just want to talk to us about. Or show us what you did last year in one-second increments, like Brian did. Also really appreciated. Just upload the video and send us the link. Yeah, send us an email, iPadToday@twit.tv. And thanks in advance. All right, before we get to our AppCap Awards, let's take a moment to thank Gazelle for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. Chad just got a new iPad.
I did.
And, you know, iPads aren't cheap.
Nope. You can sell it on Gazelle, my old one.
Did you do that?
I haven't yet.
You haven't
but
yet.
I should.
So let's say that you, you know, let's say money's tight for a lot of us. Let's say that you're like, well, I really want the new gadget, but I really need, like, you know, I've only got so much money. And I'd like to be able to sell my old gadget and use that money toward my new gadget. It doesn't have to be an iPad.
That's
of course,
what I got.
An iPad is a $160. Yeah, there you
it's
go.
Mine.
There you go.
$170 if it was flawless.
You put that towards the, you know, towards your new device, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is way more doable. You're not using that old device anyway. So unless you're trying to create some sort of a computer museum for yourself, send that stuff to Gazelle and get some money for it that you can use towards what you really want. Gazelle wants to buy your used iPad, iPhone, smartphone, all sorts of gadgets. Here's what you do. Go to gazelle.com, G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com. Find your item. Just let Gazelle know what condition it's in. Don't worry if there's some scratches or some scrapes, because they'll even buy back used or damaged devices as well. Then you get a risk-free offer for your gadgets. When you ship your gadgets, the shipping is free, and then Gazelle will pay you by check, PayPal, or an extra 5% if you go with an Amazon gift card based on the quote that it gave you. Obviously, Gazelle wants to get your stuff and make sure that what you said you were sending is what you ended up sending. But that quote, if everybody agrees that it's fair, that's locked in for 30 days. So you can get the money, and then you don't have to worry about your gadgets losing value after you get that quote. You want to get that quote locked in. That's actually the really, really important part. 30 days of good offers. What is that new? Well, you know what your new iPad is worth, but what's that old iPad worth or the old iPhone? Go to gazelle.com and find out. Do it now, though, because before you get that quote, your gadgets are losing value. Don't wait another day. It's a new year. Get rid of that old stuff. Get money for your new iPad, iPhone, or other gadgets at Gazelle.
And Gazelle's really nice. I did do it for a previous thing, and they ship you the pack. They ship you a bag to pack it, to ship it in. They're not just like, ah, just do your own thing. They do ship you packaging, which I thought was really cool.
Yes, that's true. They make it as easy as possible. Really, all you have to do is make sure that you put the box somewhere where someone's going to say, okay, I'm a male person.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, I'm a male person.
Very, very little effort on your part. Oh, well, I think, thank you, Liz. I think Liz, she's so good. She was like, hey, they're getting to the point where they're going to talk about apps. I love that hat.
I love this hat.
I haven't seen that hat for a while. You know, Leo and I got those.
I actually wore it the last time I was on.
Did you?
Yeah, love this hat.
Leo and I got those. They are Austrian hats, and they have a certain name. They're a certain kind of very special hat. Mine is actually, I had to move it very carefully because I didn't want to squish it in a box because I love it so much. With a little feather and everything. This is more of a, I don't know, Russian something. Leo would have a story about how he got it in Moscow however many years ago. This is awesome. I should just start dressing like this all the time.
I look good.
I've got authority.
I just need to go
like
hiking. Let's go.
You really do. You look like you would be a very jovial hiker.
I know. I feel like I need suspenders and, you know, a wooden mug.
And maybe a
St.
Bernard.
And let's go. Yes.
You know,
yes.
To hold the messages for the people in the, I don't know, Austrian
Alps.
I kind
of look like the leprechaun off of Lucky Charms.
That's okay. But you're a happy one.
Yeah.
You know, you got a feather in your cap. All right.
Absolutely.
So this is the part of the show where we each pick an app that we think we should pass along to you because it's awesome. And we wear hats while doing so because that's fun. And we call them the App Cap Awards. So I'll start. This was actually a recommendation from somebody who wrote in, GB, who said, this is an iPad game that I'm sure Sarah will love because I like certain kinds of games. It's called Mosaic. That's M-O-S-A-I-Q-U-E. He says it's relaxing, there's no timer, there's a cool soundtrack, and an interesting strategy. Okay, well, I went ahead and decided to take your challenge and figure out if I liked this app. Now, besides the fact that you can only play it in portrait mode, which is a tiny bit annoying, it works with Game Center. And it took me a little time to kind of get into it. But indeed, this is my kind of game. So what you want to do as a strategy is you're trying to get rid of blocks and you're arranging them by color.
Hmm.
And what you do...
Oh, it switches it out?
It's a little hard to explain, really. Again, I had to play, let's call it about 5 rounds before I really felt like I was getting the hang of it. But you've got a color on the bottom. And what you want to do is, see, now I see I've got orange and I see 3 oranges. That's good. I can get rid of 3 oranges easy. And you can't get rid of colors unless you match them up in a line. So at this point, well, this, you know, that was sort of an easy level. But I'm good to go. But sometimes you'll get to a point where the bottom color that you've got is hidden up top. All right, so what's my strategy here? What I want to do, I guess, is... Well, I'm not in great shape here.
Like it's like swapping it out?
What you... Well, yeah. And then the black ones are actually sort of issues. So you see what I did right here? I had a yellow down the bottom. I can swap out and then I can say, boom, all right, here we go. Now I'm in better shape here. And now the yellow, here I'm in trouble though, because now what do I do? Okay, now I've got to switch out to the green and get rid of some stuff because I couldn't do anything with my yellow. Again, a little hard to explain, right? By the way, you can see that all the while, I'm running out of time. Precious, precious time. No! Screw it. All right.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like a little piece of coal that Santa gave you.
Come on.
Right in the way.
See, I didn't do this right. I thought I was... All right. See? All right. Huh. Sorry if my hat's on the way, by the way. It's infuriating. It's like I get what I did wrong because I wasn't thinking ahead long enough. I was supposed to get rid of other things first, but I was not able to, so that's the end of my game. By the way, if you're like, this was very confusing, you've got some sort of interesting game options. You've got sound options, music and sound effects. You've got normal or expert. How could I possibly do expert because I'm not even good at normal? And then you've got tile sets that you can add for people who are colorblind.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you're the kind of person who's like, hey, I'd like that game, but there's no way I'd be able to discern between some of those colors... You can change it to a colorblind setting, which I have never seen in a colorful game before. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Look at that. So it's like, hey, orange has this pattern.
That is
neat. It's brilliant. I've never seen that before. This is a 99-cent app. Now, I know that GB sent this to me because he understands that I like all things that are sort of Tetris-y. So games like Dots, you know, or games like, you know, Candy Crush. Those all work very well for me. And other games I don't like so much. This does work in the same way. Mosaic, again, with the Q-U-E. I am frustrated because I'm just bad at it. And, you know, I spent a couple hours on this last night, and it's like I'm still, you know, I can't even get past my second level, so maybe I'm just stupid. But I appreciate it, and I bet some of you out there would be really, really good at it. It's made by a company called Winning Blimp, winningblimp.com, if you want to check out more. But again, $1 for a good little strategy app that is, that's, you know, it's that geometric type of flair that I'm so into.
Perfect. So my app, I actually have a roundup.
Oh, you do?
Stuff.
Oh, you're just going to go rogue, are you?
I am going to go rogue.
Okay.
I have three different things to show off, and then I'm going to crown one my victor.
Okay.
We started the episode off with talking about goal setting, and so I set a goal for myself to get in shape before I go on vacation in 2 months.
Okay.
We had just had Christmas, and I weighed myself, and I'm the fattest I have ever been in my entire life. I'm not that fat.
You're
you
not fat
tell.
At all, but I understand how
but
it
I
feels
realized,
to feel like you're losing
right.
control
I was just,
a
I
little
just
bit.
Felt out of shape. I
yeah.
felt like walking upstairs was not easy. And so in 2 months, I want to get to the point where I could. We're going on vacation. We're going on a cruise, and I want to not feel embarrassed if I have to take off my shirt. And so the way that I'm doing that is by tracking all of my food. I'm trying to track every single thing that I eat. And so I didn't know which app to use because there's right now three leading apps. And so I have Lose It, Fat Secret, and My Fitness Pal. And so I can show off all three of these food tracking apps to help it out. So first, this is Lose It. This is free, and Lose It has the big thing with the big downside with Lose It is that they want you to upgrade to premium an awful, awful lot. This is your home. Right now I haven't eaten anything today, so it looks kind of bare. So we can go to yesterday where I have some things that I ate. And this just kind of gives you a dashboard on everything that you're doing. Let's go into log, where this is your food log, and it'll show you all the things that you ate. This is only after you have entered it yourself. So let's say today, if I go forward a day, I've eaten something and I had something for breakfast, and either I can choose from, you know, previous meals. So breakfast yesterday was cereal and milk, and so I could just add those two things, or I could go and search for something else if I wanted to. You can also do a barcode scan, which all of these apps do a barcode scan where you put something in front of it and it can tell what your barcode was. The one issue that I have with this is that anytime that I add food, instead of telling me exactly what food I entered, like a brand name and something like that, it just gives me just basic ideas. So this beef jerky was actually the beef jerky that we have at Twit, and it doesn't let me know the brand name or the style or the anything other than that it was beef jerky. Same thing, you know, cereal, it gives me that it is Cheerios, but I had something earlier that it was a very specific type of food, like this sandwich, ham. This isn't just a ham sandwich. This is a ham sandwich from Subway. This is their whatever ham sandwich that they have at Subway, and I'd like to know exactly where I got this. So that's the problem that I have with this is Lose It. They have some advice, you have some goals, and so you can see how I'm trying to trend, and you can do some things. This does work with other devices, so if you wanted to put in your Fitbit or something like that, except that you do need Lose It Premium to do that. The other thing that I like about this is that it does show off some nutrient stuff down here. From this dashboard, it's really easy to add a food or add exercise or to type in your weight really fast and give it that information right from the dashboard. So that is Lose It.
That's great.
Next is Fat Secret. Fat Secret is a little bit simpler. It does their stuff based off of an RDI, which is recommended daily intake. The problem that I have with that is that I can't set it manually, and it set it at the most calories that I can consume of any of the other apps. And I feel like the other ones, you know, set it lower. And so why is this one so high? Adding food is nicer. I'd like inputting food is the hardest part of any of these apps. And they have a much nicer way to input food. Either you can do things that you've previously eaten. You can look for restaurants or chains, which you could do on the other one. But it's much easier to do popular brands, supermarket brands, or just foods in general. You can also save meals, which you could do on the other one. One issue I have with this is that if you do the barcode scanner up at the top, it needs you to rotate your iPad, which I just think is so ridiculous because all the other barcode scanners figured it out without me having to rotate forward. Mm-hmm. Just figure that out.
Always annoying when an app just won't rotate.
It's just
rotate.
Like you're being ridiculous here, and now I'm stuck into weird rotate land. With fast, hello.
I love. Yeah,
there we go.
There's Brian helping
there we
you
go.
Out. I love how it's called Fat Secret.
Fat Secret. Isn't that a cool name?
I mean, it's. I don't know if it's for everybody.
Right.
I think. But yes, go ahead.
Right. The one thing that I love about all of these apps is that they all talk back to a website. So if you want to input food on the website or check your status on a website, you can do that. This also has a really nice way of inputting exercise. The other ones do this as well. Your diet calendar, your weight tracker, and your recipes. Back in 2010, when I started trying to calculate my food, this was the app that I used. So it has information from way back in 2010. If you want to check that out. The biggest problem that I have with Fat Secret is that it's a little bit more kludgy and not quite as nice looking. It does have recipes, which I really find fascinating, but most of these aren't even that low calorie of recipes. They're just recipes. So you could just get chocolate brownies if you wanted, but that might not be what you're looking for. Finally is MyFitnessPal. With MyFitnessPal, it does a lot of the same things that the other ones do. The one thing that I do like about this is if I go back a previous day, it does all the calories, but it seems to have a bigger focus on exactly what you're eating, so carbs, fat, protein, fiber, and you can even do a sort of graph view of which of the things you're eating, carbohydrates, fats, or protein.
Because a lot of people are doing, you know, some sort of a slow-carb diet, or it really depends. It's not so much just calories, it's what kinds of
it's
foods.
It's what kinds. And on top of that, you can dig down into how much sodium you've eaten today. I went over my sodium intake. I was over 320 milligrams, milligrams of sodium. The cholesterol that I'm eating, you know, the iron that I'm having. And one day I ate a whole bunch of
carrots. Wait a second, you ate 2,600 milligrams of sodium yesterday?
Yeah, I really like sodium.
But how is that even possible?
I don't even know.
If I ate that, do you know, I would look like a beach ball.
No, yeah, sodium does not affect me.
Whoa.
There's even a worse day here.
I feel like you should be, like, dead. Yeah. Or you should float really well.
Yeah, right. My fingers should just be sausages. this one freaked me out. I was like, I was reading this wrong at first. I was like, I need 463% more vitamin A? What has vitamin A in it? And I realized that I'm over 463%. Because I ate a bunch of carrots that day. I ate so many carrots that day. And so it's like, whoa, slow down on the vitamin A. And I really like that about MyFitnessPal. On top of the one thing that I dislike is that we go back to the food diary. This looks way more complicated. It's almost scary, the amount of stuff that's on this front page. The little addition buttons are really hard to hit, and they're kind of small. And this little plus up here is also kind of hard to see. The other issue that I have with this is that there is no way for me to search for specific restaurant chains. I have not found that yet, which is a huge bummer for me that I want to say I'm next to a restaurant, please find the menu that's in this restaurant or something like that. You can still do things like search for, you know, Chipotle or whatever, but it'll come up, or Subway or whatever, but there is not a way to dig down into a restaurant chain, which I dislike. I do like that it will connect with a ton of different devices, and this is not a premium feature. So I could, if I wanted to, I could choose the Fitbit tracker and have it connect, which is a really, really cool thing about MyFitnessPal. So between Lose It, Fat Secret, and MyFitnessPal, which one do I king the winner?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to say MyFitnessPal.
It seems like the it's you can really drill down into
really
the,
like
the
down.
Most specifics.
Yeah, and the biggest issue I have is not being able to input restaurants that fast. They each have pluses and minuses. I wish I could take my pros and cons from each and merge them into one major app. But MyFitnessPal is by far my favorite. And it is, actually, I had stopped using MyFitnessPal, but it's also in the App Store as one of their recommended apps. So is Lose It, Fat Secret. Sorry, you're not on this list.
Well, they don't always have the best recommendations.
Right.
Take it from me.
Right.
Sometimes they put an app in there, and you're like, is that really recommended? Really? I don't think anyone from Apple actually uses that app, because
like
it's pretty crappy.
Yeah.
That's good, though. All right, so you got MyFitnessPal, but Lose It and Fat Secret both have good stuff
yep.
about them as well that might be better for you.
Yep.
All right, Chad. Well, that was a wonderful show. You really brought your A game.
Thanks.
So thanks for doing that on
Thank
a Monday.
You. Thank you.
You don't have the day off usually on Mondays, do you?
No.
Oh, good.
Fridays and Saturdays are my day off.
Okay, I was...
No.
Hoping that I wasn't.
This is the dog that I need.
That's the.
I
yeah.
I need to travel with this dog.
He's got his
I need to learn how to
see,
yodel.
I wasn't able to explain. You know, you've got the same. They have the messages.
Yeah.
Or the beer.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they have in there.
I thought it was whiskey, so that you.
Oh,
could
maybe.
Die
Stay warm.
Drunk or something.
Die drunk.
I
yeah.
Don't know.
We're all gonna die up
yeah.
here in the Alps.
You're freezing to death here.
Let's
have
just
whiskey.
Be happy
yeah.
while we go down. Well, that's it for this edition of iPad Today. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Of course, you can go to twit.tv/IPT to keep up with us on our website. The information superhighway makes it really easy for you. You can subscribe to the show there. You can watch old episodes. We've got all of our videos embedded on every episode page and also our show notes. Anything that we talk about on the show, if it's linkable, we'll have it there. Chad's, his accessories and, you know, all that stuff is all in our show notes as well. So, don't worry. Got you covered.
Go buy those gloves.
Reminder, next week, Leo will be back. We are at our new time if you want to watch us live on Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Until then, thanks for watching iPad Today. We'll see you next time. Oh!